over to 1 John chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. 1 John chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. And I felt the Lord even giving me the title of this. Even the devil smiles, but it does not mean that he wins. Look at your neighbor and smile. I'm sorry. I practiced that joke all week. 1 John chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, dealing with the subject, even the devil smiles, but it does not mean he wins. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I want to read that again to you. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. I just want to take time this morning and really speak into your life that we need to understand that our victory depends on our faith. 1 John 5, verses 4 through 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? I challenge everyone today to confess that into your life every day. Because the life that we lead expresses and exemplifies how we really believe. And if we don't live for Christ, then we are expressing a statement that we are of the world. And we have to take hold of the fact that our victory depends on our faith in God. Our faith in his word. Our faith that he is with us at all times. The Bible declares in Hebrews in chapter 13 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. It also states in that same chapter that he says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So he is always with us. I was talking to a Buddhist yesterday, and great young man, very much involved with his religion. And he says, Christians are funny people. I agreed. He says, because you all always tell all these stories in the past. You always tell all these stories out of the Bible that are all past events. He said, but myself as a Buddhist, he says, we believe in the now. We want to know exactly what's going on now so we can go in and do better. And I said, well, let me tell you something. I think it's great, and I agree with you 100%. I said, but what really is going on there, we're pulling from the examples of history to make our present better now so we can move into our future in the right way. And he says, you know, I never thought of it like that. I didn't change his mind to be a Christian from being a Buddhist. And it's so important to understand that. So we have to grab today in our life faith. Our faith is really important. And if you go through your life without faith, you're going through your life without victory. And we can live in victory or we can live in defeat. But you can't straddle the fence. How are you doing today? I don't know if I'm winning or losing. No, you're winning if you're a Christian. If you have faith, you're winning, praise God. And if you'll stand up on that and understand that, that your belief in God's word births a conqueror that is in, that has the entitlement, and that entitlement is you. By God's word, by your belief in his word, in Romans 8 and 37, it simply says this very clearly. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. We have the conquering spirit in our life. We're not defeatists. We're not like losing all the time. We're not like losers and people that are without. And we're not on the outskirts of the camp. We're not living in the Old Testament any longer. Jesus went outside the camp and died on that cross for us, that we could be inside the camp and worshiping him. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. You all don't understand that, do you? He did not die within the camp. They took him outside of Jerusalem, outside the temple, to a hill called Golgotha, to where he hung on a cross entitled Calvary, that you and I would have an entitlement of a victor and a conqueror, and not just a conqueror, but more than a conqueror, praise God, that we can be inside the camp and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is upon our life. You see, I really think the church world needs to come back to the element of truth, the basis and the root of truth, that we are who we are because of who he is in us. And the Bible declares that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Amen. I said it before, but I'll say it again. The only authority the enemy gets is the authority that we give him. We have victory over the devil. I know he doesn't like me to say that, but it's the truth. We have victory over the devil. Total victory. The only time we fall is because we allow him to trip us. In other words, he cannot touch us because we are covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, well, Pastor, you know, about Job. Friend, can I say this in simple vernacular? You ain't Job, and you don't want to be. You know, a lot of people want to refer to certain subjects in the Bible. You don't want to be Elijah. You don't want to dress in bear's clothes with a rugged rope tied around you and your diet is locusts and honey. You don't want that. And then you die young if you're a prophet. So you have to understand something. You know, be who you are in the kingdom. But know this, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well then, Pastor, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to reflect Jesus. Friend, you don't want to be Jesus. Because I don't even understand how Jesus was Jesus. It's a mystery that God stepped out of that glorious time to save folks who didn't deserve it. Paid a price that they couldn't pay. Well, let's bring it down to earth. Let's just say it like this. You're at a restaurant, you're eating, and all of a sudden you reach for your wallet, you don't have the money, and they already got a dishwasher. Somebody across the area goes, I'll take care of it for them. And all of a sudden you get relief. Well, what happened in your life is you ran out of wallet. And Jesus stepped out of glory, stepped down on an earth, lived there for 30 years with only one representation of, at 12 years old, he was in the temple. Then all of a sudden he steps into public ministry and he steps into ridicule, criticism, anger. This is not liked. And the only reason people followed him is because they thought he was going to be the king who was going to stay. And all of a sudden, the church world at that time, the religious world, decided they didn't want him and they were going to kill him because he was smarter than they were. He suffered. Terrible. You don't want to be Jesus. You want to be like Jesus. You want to have Jesus living within you, but you don't want to go through what he went through. All the pain and the agony, the suffering servant who went to the cross like a sheep going to slaughter without any noise. Never went, ouch. Never went, stop it, I give up, you win. I'm God's son, but I'm getting out of here. This is crazy, y'all don't deserve me. He went through it that you and I can be going through it with him today. Because greater is he that is us than he that's in the world. You see, we have to understand that our hope in the promises of God enables us to enter into his triumph in you. Our faith, our belief in God's word, and our hope in God's promises gives us victory every day of our life. I wake up every day with faith that God's going to do something. I wake up every day believing in God's word. I've got myself into doing a habit every day and every night before I go to sleep. I refuse to look at anything at all before I go to sleep except the word of God. There's a lot of choices out there. But we need to look at the word. We need to get the word in our life so we know in whom we believe. We know how powerful the word is. And by the way, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. There's no devil strong enough to take you down. There's no antichrist manipulating spirit that can take you away from the belief in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of glory. And I want you to know something. He is the pastor of this church. He is the one who created this church. He is the one that's made it possible for us to worship in this church. He is the one we worship today. And he is the one that hung upon that cross that you and I have a Savior that is alive forevermore because he rose on the third day in the bodily resurrection. And some 40 days later, he ascended up in the glory, and 10 days later after that, he came down into an upper room in the Holy Ghost and baptized them in the Holy Spirit, and then reminds us in Hebrews 7:25 that he is forever interceding for us, and he is able to save all those that come to God through him. Someone say, greater is he. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 and A simply says this. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Didn't say sometimes. Always. And I'm going to say this to me. And you can relate to it. That's cool. That's good. That's great. The only times that I fail is when I count on myself. The only times I sin is when I forget about Jesus in my decision. But when I count on him, I never fail. And when I make him part of my decision, I don't sin. Now, you don't have to relate to that. That's okay, because you know, I'm not going to point a finger at you and tell you that. I'm just going to tell you that the victory that we all have is in Christ. He gives us that victory. He gives us the strength to get through. He gives us the opportunities in our life to count on him every day of our life. And we can embrace that and know that in his life. You see, what we have to understand, what the Lord shared with me in prayer this week was really important. He just simply said to my heart, you are sanctified in Christ Jesus. And you know, a lot of people don't like to hear the sanctified word in the modern terms. You see, we want to live in the world, be part of the world, be like the world, embrace the world, and give the world as much Christ as we want to. That's not sanctification. The Bible says that know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost, that you have been bought with a price, and ye are no longer your own. The Bible also declares to come out from amongst them, to separate yourself from darkness, to separate yourself. You don't have fellowship with the enemy. To come out. That doesn't mean you walk around with your nose up in the air and everybody else is just dirty and filthy and you're walking through. He didn't call us to be modern day Sadducees and Pharisees. He called us to be what he said, sons and daughters of the living God. To be pulled out of darkness and brought into his marvelous light, that we would show forth those praises and others would see it. He called us to be peculiar. He called us a royal priesthood. He calls us his children. He says in Romans 8 that the Holy Ghost witnesses to our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God. He says we haven't been brought in by the spirit of fear, but by the spirit of adoption, whereby we can cry out a very familiar word in Hebrew, Abba, which means, I don't like to say it, but I will say it. I've never used God's name in any other way but Father, the Anointed One, Almighty God, but I will say it. Abba is very relatable to the word dad. Very familiar. I'm just saying to you that we have this adoption, that we are now joint heirs with the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. So what Jesus gets, we get also. Amen. What God promises to Jesus, it's a promise to us. When we lay down our crowns before God in glory, Jesus is going to lay down the crown too before God. And the kingdom of God is going to come and consume the kingdom of heaven. And everything's going to be the kingdom of God. I'm not asking you to understand all that, but I'm trying to tell you right now there's a day coming when the devil will bow his knee and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory. Amen. There's only one name under heaven whereby a man may be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. Greater is he that's in me and in you than he that is in this world. Number one, he sanctified our bodies. We need to learn to treat our bodies as best as we possibly can. We sometimes let our bodies do things that should not. He sanctified our bodies. He sanctified our soul. Our soul was in danger. But when you met Jesus, your soul was taken out of danger into blessing. Amen. He was there. He did it instantaneously for you, but eternally for himself. He did it instantaneously because when you confessed your sin before him, and I'll explain this in a moment, you were instantaneously saved and sanctified. You progress in your life with Jesus Christ. I had a Sunday school teacher in my first church that I ever pastored in a little hamlet of a village outside of Modesto, California. And he got up and he said, I want everybody to know. He was serious. That if Jesus stayed in the tomb for 3 days, that means it's going to take you 3 days to get saved. So if you give your heart today, Sunday morning, by Wednesday morning, you will be saved. I want to say what I did, so you'll understand that I'm pretty serious about the gospel. That was the last time he ever taught in that church. I told him he needed to get saved instantaneously. Our soul has been saved. I can't tell you what it's going to be like because I haven't crossed over yet. But I've got a hope. That this soul that is within this tent called our body, which is sanctified unto the Lord, we present our bodies unto God. That soul that is sanctified, that is separated unto God, will be then joining God in heaven for eternity. Now, I studied Far Eastern religion. I was very strong into it. Used to dress all in white, wore a turban, had my hair tied up on top of my head. Believe me, it's the truth. Don't try to picture it. It's too funny, but it's the truth. I studied it. I just was all over it. I thought about getting in a lotus position this morning during this message, but then I realized that if I get in there, I'm not getting out. Meditated and did all those things. But in my studies in the Far Eastern religion, and to be so part of this, I realized that I had to reach a place called nirvana, which is this heightened spiritual realm and mindset, which they call Christ consciousness. Christ was not Jesus' last name. I want you guys to know that. You can't find him in the phone book under the C's, okay? That was his consciousness. That's the truth. His consciousness, he had a Christ consciousness. He was there. And obviously he was there because he was the creator of all consciousness. Now listen to me, I'm taking you to a place. They believe that when you die, if you don't reach nirvana, if you reach nirvana before you die, like some Sharis and some yogis do, then they go right into being one with the universe. But if you don't get there, you go to sleep for 500 years. Now, you can't get woken up because you're in the ground. You know, it's awful hard to shake somebody out of the coffin, right? You know that, right? You can't get woken up. You're there. You stay there 500 years, and after your 500-year sleeping state, you come back. Now, here's the key. You may not come back as a human being. You may have done some things wrong in your search for nirvana, so you now may come back as a cow, as a sheep, as a goat, as a bird, as a turtle, as a lion. Or you may come back, in other words, you're going to be reincarnated. They believe in that. You keep getting reincarnated, till one day you reach nirvana. Thank be to God that we are not reincarnated. I'm not up here barking. I'm not chewing lettuce out of a shell that my head's sticking out of. I'm not baying. I am certainly not roaring. I am not doing anything but preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is my first time around and the only time around, because when I step off of this planet, the Bible tells me that I will step into the very presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Amen. That's why I took my turban off. Plus it hurt. But then your spirit, man, that part of your life, body, soul, and spirit, that spirit is sanctified. Those emotions is the soul, the will, all that. The spirit that is just there is the living breath of God in your life is sanctified, and you're there and you're walking with God. We know we can't and should not embrace the world in such a way, because nothing, when you become a Christian, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Neither height, neither depth, neither the things that are present or the things to come, neither the angels nor principalities nor powers shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Because we have made a choice to believe that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I want you to know something, church. God is reaching into our hearts right now. He is shaking us and making us really quite aware that he indwells within us, that we are a temple. When you leave, you're taking God with you. He's not going to hang out here waiting for you to come back, even though his presence is felt everywhere. What I'm saying to you is that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The devil knows that, and he wants to keep you from living that. He wants to trick you into believing that he can attack you and overtake you at his beck and will, his beck and call. But I like what it says in Revelations 12:11, what it says. And they overcame him, small h, him, the Antichrist, him, the devil, in other words, him, the accuser of the brethren. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. You see, your victory is not your works. It's what he has done that's given us the initial shout, we won!
Yes, Lord.
I was walking with a Baptist the other day. I said, you guys got to tell me something here. You guys have got to tell me something. What is it that no one shouts? He didn't say anything to me, just stared at me. He knows that I don't make much noise. And I said, you know, I was in the world and I went to see all these rock bands, the Allman Brothers, and B.B. King, and Led Zeppelin, and all these people, and, you know, Grateful Dead, and at the Fillmore West, and now we'd be, you know, dancing, you know, I'd be the hippie dance, you know, like all this all over the place, you know. And they'd be playing and our arms would be going up and then, they'd be singing, you know, songs, you know. Casey Jones, High on Cocaine, we'll be, yeah! I'm just being real, I'm sorry. Not really, I'm not sorry. I'm just being real. Yeah. You get saved, and everybody sits like Ben sit. Here we are raising our hands to the devil in the world. We get saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost, and we sit in church. Like we're wishing we were at the rock concert. And I said to him, I said, you know, you got to tell me something. When you, who's your favorite team? Of course, he told me what his favorite team was. Of course, you know, he chose the wrong one, but that's okay. Told me what his favorite team was. You know, he said it was the A's, but, you know, the bottom line is, I said, so you're there, and the A's are up the bat. They hit the ball. If they win the World Series, are you telling me when everybody in that stadium is shouting, you're like, I said, when they do the wave there at the Oakland Coliseum, which I've been there, and they go like this, and everybody goes, and you're like that, you're not caught up in it. I tell you, you go to a game, and you better do the wave. Someone goes smack you in the back of the head. I'm telling you, we need some smackers in the back of the head in church again. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do the wave. Jesus, just Jesus, the wave. You may not be more talented or more skilled than those in this world. You may not be. I know I'm not. There's a whole lot more people more talented and more skilled than me in a lot of ways. But what makes a victor is that you are possessed and indwelt by the Holy Ghost. Don't look at your circumstances and say, I'm defeated. You're not defeated. You're full of the Holy Ghost and power. Jesus is your friend who sticks closer than a brother. He's the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful, the Counselor, the Almighty God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Blood. He is the Lamb of God slain from the foundations of the earth. He is God. He is the Holy One of Israel. He is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the air we breathe. Someone shout Jesus! You are not defeated. You may be going through something and it hurts, it's painful. You don't see the end result, but you are a winner. You are not defeated, and God has got a life for you, Jeremiah 29 and 11, that's full of hope and good things. Stop listening to that lying devil that wants to trick you into believing you have no victory. We are the temple of God. And that world out there has nothing on us. So when we go out there, we take what we have to them and let them know that what we have, they need. What they have, we don't need. We have been sanctified, set apart unto service sake is what sanctified means. Unto God, we're set apart unto God for service sake. We can actually share with them what we have is what you need. We don't need drugs. We don't need alcohol.
No.
We don't need tobacco.
No.
We don't need to overeat.
No.
We don't need to cuss and profane.
No.
We don't need to be racist.
No.
We don't need to be people who are arrogant and full of pride and is willing to step on anybody and hurt anybody to get to the next ladder, a rung on the ladder. We don't need to be selfish. We don't need to have a lying tongue. We don't need to be political in our faith. We don't need anything but what we already have, and that is Jesus. And greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. You're living in a past victory which continues into the present by what God, through Jesus Christ, provided at Calvary. That past victory has moved into your present, and when you move into your future, it moves in with you. In other words, and you've heard it said, and if you ever not heard it said, here it is for the first time. The blood that spilt out of the veins of Jesus Christ down His side when they pierced His side, down that old rugged cross, is as fresh today as it was over 2,000 years ago. And when He said, "It is finished, and into thy hands I commend my spirit," let me tell you, it's the same volume as it was over 2,000 years ago. The switch isn't broken. It's not some crackly recording that you can hardly hear. It's a shout across eternity that what He had done was completed, because He knew in 2013 on May 26th at this church in San Pablo, California, Hope for the Bay Church of God, you would know that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world, and that you are Jesus's family, and you are the sons and daughters of a living God. He will always be greater and always superior to this old world and any enemy that opposes you and I. Always.
Amen.
The world is the devil's domain. That's quite apparent to see. But when you study the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, you will find that it is stated that the grave
and sin has lost its value and its sting. No victory. And you will also find that the earth, the creation, groans for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The earth. Now, I'm not a New Ager here, so don't misunderstand me. But Bible says the earth groans. The earth does not like being controlled by a curse of sin that came in the Garden of Eden and where the devil was cast down and has a domain in. This earth does not like it. And we praise God and worship with the world, and we worship that there is a king coming. One day he'll step across a starry staircase. One day he'll call us home. Whether if we're in the grave or if we're breathing air, he'll call us home. Praise God. And we will be with him forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah to the Lamb. The devil has a job. And then, like any good company owner who wants to protect his property, he's going to do the best job he can, so somebody else is going to come and take it. So his job is to steal, to kill, and destroy you. Steal your dreams and your hopes. Kill any desires that you have to serve a living God or to be successful in life, and to steal anything that may have been presented to you, like the seed of the word, so it won't grow and it won't become something that's flourishing and beautiful in the sight of God. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and that life more abundantly. Oh, I know that everybody wants to preach at this point. They want to say, well, where's my abundant life? You know, you can say all you want. The life that you and I seek is not an abundant life here on this earth. You say, well, preacher, come on now. Let me tell you something. I've been to the third world countries. They don't have much. A dollar for a loaf of bread, and all they're making is $30 a month. Do the math and the addition. That's all you're going to eat is bread. They don't have houses of worship or places to praise. They got caves. They got handkerchiefs not to wave, praise God, good preaching, but handkerchiefs to put over their mouths so when they do get happy and they do begin to praise God, they have to do it in a whisper where it cannot be heard, because they can be killed for professing and confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of their life. But here's the key. They're happy. Because they know that one day that abundant life has been promised will be theirs in heaven. They'll walk on streets of gold. They'll have a mansion, praise God. They'll have a family. And when it's time to shout, there'll be no handkerchief over their face. They'll just shout, praise be to the Lord our God. All glory and honor unto him who sits upon the throne forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Let me read a closing verse to you. 1 Peter 5, 7 and 9. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Version. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all. I want to tell you that anxieties, worries, and concerns are open door for the devil to come into your life. Cast them all. Once and for all. On him, capital H. For he, capital H, cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. He's always looking. His eye, the Bible declares in the book of Ezekiel, his eye goes to and fro across this earth, seeking those that will worship him, seeking those that are righteous, seeking those that are calling out to him. The Bible declares in Jeremiah, call to me and I will show you things that you do not know. Be well balanced. Temperate. Sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times. For the enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion. Is fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Now, I want you to know, a lion does not roar when it hunts. The reason that he uses like a roaring lion is to show you that the lion is so fierce and so strong that the king of the jungle, every animal there pulls back when he roars. They run. In other words, he's like that lion, that king. This is his domain. And he's going to roar. He's going to make noise. But when he hunts, he does it quietly. Slowly. Looking for you to have anxiety. Looking for you to have concern. Looking for you and I to have worries. He looks for us not to be temperate, not to be sober of mind. He looks for us to where then he can pounce and take you down, take us down, and walk off with a victory that he does not deserve, which he really doesn't have. He has just got you thinking he does. Because Jesus doesn't give up anything to the devil. Amen. Read Luke 4. By yourself, go ahead and read it, because I'll have to preach another 20 minutes. But let me tell you something. Read Luke 4. He offered him everything. Jesus said, you got nothing I want. I paraphrased. Yep. Are you hungry? You don't have anything there that I could turn into a piece of bread that's going to satisfy me like the Word of God. I'm certainly not going to worship you because you once worshiped me, Jesus was telling him. So why am I going to worship you? And the devil left him for a season, another time. He was coming back. So today, if you're sitting around thinking, I haven't had any problem with the devil in a long time, he's coming. Like a roaring lion. So begin casting. Begin throwing all your concerns and anxieties and worries, and get temperate and stay sober-minded before the Lord. Don't allow him to devour your hope, your dream, your goal. And I'm going to tell you something. It's just something you already know, but let's be reminded. The devil may not be around so much as you think, but he loves to use his people to do it to you. I'm going to school. I'm going to get my education. I'm feeling so good. I'm going into the ministry. Why are you doing that? I can go down a list of stuff. But you know what? Greater is he that is in you and I than he that is in the world. Just say it back to him. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You're in the world and I'm in God.
Amen.
Do the math. Get the balances out. You're outweighed, dude. Withstand him. Be firm in faith.
withstand him. Be firm in faith against his onset. Rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined. Get them all there. Get them all there. Root yourself in the Word. Be established in your habits with God to praise and to worship Him. Be strong in your beliefs in what you know God is in your life. Be immovable for the when the winds of the devil come towards you. It may bend you down, but as soon as the sun comes up, you rise back up and you begin to praise Him because your roots were never taken up. And be determined to finish what God has already started for you. What God has already started for you. Knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. It's an amazing thing to me that we all go through this together. But our weakness is that we see people going through it and we don't go up and tell them the greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. Maybe if the devil can use people, I think God tries to use people. And we say no to God when God says, go ahead and reach out to someone. Help them back up. I'm too busy. I'm on my way to church. I'm in prayer. Well, you know what? You're on the other side of the road. You're the Leviticus priest, the Levitical priest, excuse me. And you're the Pharisees and the Sadducees that's heading down. And you see the man beaten, left as dead. And you're going, too busy. Doesn't look like I know him. He's a different color than I am. I'm going down this way. Here comes the Samaritan. All he sees is the pain, the hurt, and assumed death. And he reaches down, picks him up, pours oil in his wounds, takes him to a shelter area, gets him a room, and tells the innkeeper, I'll be back in a couple days, whatever it costs. I'm going to pay for it. I'd rather be the good Samaritan than some haughty pharmaceutical or Levitical priest that's walking down the road on my way to do something for God. He'll cover the debt. As a matter of fact, the Bible says He's already covered our debt. And I believe I'm looking at people that have already been in the inn and you've been released. Greater is He. It's in me that he that's in the world. As believers, yield yourselves to the one who lives within them. That's what we should do. Experience continual victory in our daily battles with the forces of evil. The great promise that is provided to us today is simply this. He provides comfort, assurance, and hope. And let me read my closing remark to you. Because I feel quite comfortable today. I feel quite assured. And I have hope that I've preached well. Knowing the Word and living the Word in power can give your victory every day of your life. Listening to the Word of God and pushing away that which denies the Word of God will give you a strong character that is holy and determined to embrace the promises of God daily. God sustains you and loads benefits upon you daily, and we must not forget all His benefits that He has given us. His mercy endures forever. His victories are not only present, but they are eternal. Amen. Praise God.